to you like on Saturday or whenever, all the notes for Sunday. So you'll come to church, you'll have all these notes for yourself in whatever means you keep them by. So everybody say, God's going to make it good. Just turn to your neighbor and say, hey man, God's going to make it good. Just tell him that. The Bible says Paul was teaching, the Holy Spirit was teaching, and he said, had the principalities of darkness known, the powers, had they known that what they were doing when they crucified Christ, had they known the outcome, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have contributed to their own demise. And God is so strategic, so intentional, and so dynamic that he has a plan in your story. He's going to make it good. Beginning of verse 28, for time's sake in your notes, Romans 8, 28, and we know, everybody shout know. The primary word for knowing or knowledge in the New Testament is gnosko. Gnosko is a beautiful word. It means knowledge that has an inception, a progress, and an experience or a fulfillment. So it's knowledge that begins by information that grows until it's an experience. So God doesn't want just head knowledge. He wants a real life experience. When we were singing and Derek was singing, God, we feel your love right now. We encounter your love. Well, that's real. God doesn't want just a theological construct in your mind about his love. He wants you to encounter it, to experience. And same with every part of the kingdom of God. So we know that all things, everybody say all things. I'll say good things, bad things, ugly things, evil things, dysfunctional things. There's nothing outside of the reach, the great reach of God's all-encompassing promise that everything, all things, we know that all things work together. All things work together. Synergio is the Greek word. We get the word synergy. But synergio means a collaboration, a cooperation. The idea of synergy is a beautiful word in physics. It means when you put some things together, if you add these things together, suddenly when they're put together, their properties increase more. They become more together than they were individually. So God says, don't worry about what you think is going to happen. I'm going to make it more than it should be. I'm going to make it better than it should be. Okay? It's not over till God makes it good. He's working. Just tell your neighbor, he's working. He's working with that crazy situation. He's working in that dysfunctional person. He's working in that broken. He's working, working, working. And he's not done till he says it's good, until you say it's good. Amen? And God rested and said, it's good. He created things for 6 days. And every time he stood back and watched what he'd done, he said, that's good. There wasn't anyone else to say it. He had to say it himself. And now he has you and I to say, that's good. That's good, Papa. That's good. Thank you. He works all things together for the good. Someone shout good. The good of those who love God. Well, that's me. That's you. And then to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's every single believer. So every single believer, this promise is for, that God works all things together for good. Here's a simple way that I'll say it to you this morning. Once God is added to the recipe, the meal will always end up tasting good. See the devil might be, you know, contriving and conspiring and just putting this goulash of hurt together. But God says, go ahead and devil, build all that stuff. At the very end, before it's served, I'm going to put my finger in it. And all of a sudden, it's going to become good. I'm going to make it become good. Joseph said it like this in Genesis 50:20 to his family who had betrayed him years before. He said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good as it is this day. So your God knows how to make bad things become good. He knows how to make hurtful things become healing and life-affirming. There's nothing he can't make good. So for all of us as believers, this is for us. God wants us to believe that. And so the promise of God making things good is for every single believer. And to make sure that we connect to it, then there's this beautiful teaching that goes on to the rest of this chapter. So here's a couple of ideas for you. So Every Christian has a purpose. So our purpose is in Christ. Our purpose is to be like Christ. Our purpose is to do the works of Christ. Our purpose is then specifically assigned to the gifts and callings of our own life then, and it's in a specific or narrower purpose fulfillment. But every person has destiny. Every person has a purpose, has a dream from God. I love to preach about destiny, because the devil is trying to steal, especially from the millennials, the Generation X, people 40 and under, the devil is trying to steal this generation's hope and expectation, but he's a liar. God has a plan and purpose for your life, young or old. So God's plan is so powerful. Here's what God says. My purpose for you is so overreaching, is so magnificently greater than any other thing you'll go through. My purpose makes things become good. Anything the devil plans, we have authority to stop. Any purpose from hell has no power over you unless you align with it. Anything the devil plans, we have authority to stop. Anything God has planned, the devil has no authority to stop. Now that's simple, but it's important. Okay, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined... Excuse me, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, everybody shout foreknew. So let's stop right there. So, Pastor, what is foreknowledge? Glad you asked me. It's God knowing everything in advance. It's advance of knowledge. So God's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. His omniscience includes the ability of foreknowledge. So there's nothing you'll ever go through that surprises God. There's not an emergency meeting in heaven. Father, Son, Spirit. Oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know Maiden would go through that. What are we going to do? No, God has perfect foreknowledge. So he knows tomorrow. He holds tomorrow. He governs it. And for your life as a believer, your future is in the hand of God, not in the arsenal, not in the power of the devil. It's in the hand of God. So I'm foreknown. What does that mean? God has always known you. He's always known you. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 2 Timothy 2:9, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those that are his. Jeremiah 31:3, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I loved the thought of you before there was you. So God has foreknown your life. He liked what he saw, okay? For whom he foreknew, rest of the verse, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn of many brethren. And that's a mouthful, but I want to talk about it. So the second thing, so here's what happened. The Holy Spirit's building an escalating revelation of what Christ has done for you so that you'll believe that God can work all things together for good, so that you'll live in the conquering life more than a conqueror, like Pastor Kwame talked about, that God's ordained for you in Christ. So whom he foreknew, he predestined. So predestined, just like it sounds, pre before destined, to give someone a purpose, to give someone an intentional design for their life, a manuscript, a destiny. So you have a destiny. Your destiny is not something you create. It's something you discover. So God wrote out a script of your life. He wrote out Michael Maiden will be 6'3", he'll have blue eyes and blonde hair. He'll weigh blankety, blankety, blankety. He'll have... size 13 and a half feet. He'll have this personality. He'll have this gifting. He'll move in this. So everything I ever get, God already thought of. See, I don't ask God to give me things that he didn't think of. I ask God to give me the things he's already put in me. Make them real to me, Papa. Show me this. We might become turned on. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Amen. You already have everything you need to be everything you're called to be. We go through this journey where Holy Spirit awakens these giftings. So I'm predestined. So everybody say I'm predestined. Well, I put that in your notes. God has always wanted you. You have to get this. Before there was you, God saw perfectly into the future. He sees 1958. He sees Carol and Richard Madden have a baby. He says, I want him. He's mine. He's got a destiny. He doesn't even know it. He'll go from Marshalltown to Phoenix. He'll go from this to that. And he'll go through some storms, but it's all okay. My calling is so powerful, it'll help him overcome anything he ever faces. Okay? So we're predestined, and then it gets clarity. We're predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of the Son. What does that mean? Someday when we pass away or Christ comes for us, in a moment we'll become perfectly Christ-like. We will reflect Christ in every dimension. In the meantime, our earthly journey is to become more Christ-like. Okay? I'm going to be perfect someday. In the meantime, I'm getting better. Now you have to get this, because no matter what you go through this year, God's going to make it work together for your good, specifically to make you more like Jesus. My wife will kiss me in the forehead. She did the other night. And she said to me, you're such a changed person. You're so different. Every time she says that, I say, well, how come you married the other guy? She must have had prophetic vision. Well, what changed me, just life, see, you can let things make you bitter or let things make you better. When you say to God, God, I don't know why these things have happened, but I want to be more like Jesus. When you say to God, I'm going to forgive all those flaky people that hurt me. You with me? If you use the word flaky, that's probably not forgiving yet. So just say, Lord, I want to forgive that SOB right now. I lift him to your throne. I know he deserves the rotten, filthy hell forever and ever, but I'm just telling you, I forgive him. That may not be, it sounds sincere to heaven. I don't know. So if you let God, if you just keep loving God and keep cooperating with his purpose, he'll make everything the devil throws at you make you a better person. Thank you, six of you. Amen. A lot of times Christians are trying to escape the very thing God sent them to make them like Jesus. Sometimes it's a marriage. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's children. Whatever it is. Oh God, this thing's so horrible. I know. But if you let me. Amen. Everybody wants to be great, but nobody wants to go through the process. I want to be like Jesus. Oh, good. Watch out. So I'm predestined to be like Jesus. Amen. I'm determined at the end of 2016 to be more like him than the beginning. I don't know everything that's going to happen this year. I just know I'm just going to be cooperating with God. God, thank you that you're from glory to glory, moving my life forward. Okay, so I'm predestined. Someone shout, I'm predestined. Ephesians 1:5, we are predestined to adoption as sons, daughters by Jesus Christ himself. We're predestined for an inheritance according to the purpose of God. So you have a destiny and you have a purpose in Christ, okay? So whom he predestined, verse 30, these he also called. Someone shout, called. Now this is a very important Old and New Testament concept, okay? The calling of God. So God knew you. God, in his perfect knowledge, he saw you. He, by foreknowledge, okay? He's always known you. Predestined you. He's always wanted you. But he had to say what he wanted. And so he spoke out your name. This is so. See, someday God will let you hear the moment he spoke out your name from eternity past. The moment he said, you're mine. Amen. Dr. McCray, you're mine. Mrs. McCray, you're mine. Everett Tompkins, you're mine. And so our calling is something that God himself. So the word call in the Greek is kaleo. And kaleo is a great Greek word. A simple definition of it is this: to call someone's name and to give them destiny and vocation, to tell them where to go and what to do. It's identity, it's direction, it's employment, it's activity. So tell me where to go. So God says, I got a path for you. My calling is the place you're going to walk in, the path of your life, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. The steps of a good man and woman are ordered by God. I've got a path for you. Your calling, you have a calling, not just preachers, everybody's called. You're called, amen? 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you might show forth the virtues of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're called. And so the reason why that's important is your calling has power to bring you through every storm. Your calling has the power to bring you back from horrible setbacks. Your calling has the power to heal your body when the devil is trying to take you out prematurely. Your calling has the power to rebuke the attacks of the enemy against your life. Everything you need to get to the place you're called to be is in your calling. Someone say, I'm called. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're sitting next to a called person. Just tell them that. Okay. And then he said this: whom he called, he also justified. Now, the word justified in Greek is an accounting word. And you that know things about money. So to justify an account in this term means to pay bills, to turn it from a negative, from red to black, to change it, to pay it. So when I came to Christ, I was in debt. My debt was sin. I was born in sin, and then I had transgressions. So I had both these things, an iniquitous nature and transgressions by action. So when I came to Christ, he said this, paid in full. At the cross, remember when Christ said, it is finished? It's an accounting word, it means paid in full. So the wonderful news for your life is your debt has been paid. Every sin forgiven. Just touch someone and say, all your sins are forgiven. So the God that foreknew you, the God that predestined you, the God that called you, listen, if you're called and not justified, you'll never fulfill your purpose. Everyone's called, but you can't fulfill it until you receive the gift of righteousness in Christ, till you're born again. And so Christ, this is the portrait of the picture of the cross. Christ came to pay our debt, to restore us to God. We're justified. Now, this is so magnificently important because you don't need 10 reasons to worship God today. Well, Pastor, I got some stuff going. Well, just remind yourself, he foreknew you. He predestined you. He called you. He justified you. Jesus Christ works all things together for you. You see, you have to change the way you perceive life, change the way you approach life, and not let circumstances dictate to you who God is and dictate to you how God feels about you. I know Jesus loves you. Why? The cross tells me so. The Bible confirms it. The Holy Spirit bears witness for it. No matter what's going on in your world, you're justified. Amen? Galatians 2:16, knowing that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So I'm justified by faith in his grace. Amen. Jesus plus nothing equals grace. So he did it all. He paid it all. It's the wonderful victory, the greatest gift, the greatest transaction ever. It is the hope of this Easter season. We come to God not begging for forgiveness, not bargaining for standing, but we come to God and receive what has been given to us freely because of Jesus Christ. Okay? So whom he justified, finally he says, he also glorified. Now this is a great teaching. So he says, God gives you in your earthly journey an earnest, a down payment of future glory. So I have glory now, but someday, you know, the smartest person in this room uses about 7.5% of their mind. What does that mean? 93% of your mind's not even engaged. Can you imagine what could happen with 100% activity? Someday I'm going to get a body with a perfect mind, eternal life that will never be sick, never die. Someday I'll be just like Jesus. Someday I'll be living in perfect glory all the time. In the meantime, I'm tasting, living, transactioning in heavenly glory as much as I can download into my life. God continually blesses us, like our worship today, in his presence with his glory. But the time will come, my eternity is secured, and there is nothing but glory waiting for me on the other side of that journey. Okay? Now, why all those things are important is we're building a case. Okay, we're building a case. So the devil comes. He's a serpent. He wasn't crawling on the ground. He was attractive. He was seductive. He was intelligent. He was some kind of being on 2 feet. Comes to Eve, and it says to Eve, you know, I know God said about that tree over there, don't eat of it. Have you ever thought of why God doesn't want you to eat of that tree? It's probably because he's trying to keep you from something better. And deep within Adam and Eve were suspicions of the intention and nature of God. Now here's what happens. You can't believe all things are going to work together for your good if you're suspicious of God. Couple simple things. The fingerprints of God are never on the evil things that happen in this world. James 1 says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow or variation. If it's not good, it's not God. It's important for you to lock into that so that you're not dualistic, that you're not dichotomous in your interpretation of God. Because you cannot, yes, God is just, yes, he is holy, but we are in the season of grace. And if God treated people according to their sin, this room would be a pile of ash. Amen. And my ash will be preaching your ash. I hope that comes across good in the tape. A-S-H. All you sinners. I'm going to laugh about that all day today. It's fun when you can entertain yourself. I'll say that. Okay. So he's building a case so that you can conquer. Okay. Now it's going to get even better. Okay. Here we go. I got to speed up. What shall we say to these things? What things? God foreknew you, predestined you, called you, justified you, glorified. What? He's got your future covered. At the cross, he covered your earthly journey by salvation. Your eternity past, he saw you, loved you, wanted you, chose you, predestined you, told the devil he couldn't have you, made you his, called out your name, gave you vocation, gave you destination, gave you purpose, gave you destiny. What shall we say to these things? He that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all? Someone shout, all things. Now, here's a maidenism. If God gives you the big enchilada, he's not going to hold back the chip and salsa. I can imagine when I get to heaven, Paul might be arguing. Why'd you say that? I said this so beautifully. You brought up enchiladas and chips. Now, what does that mean? If the big thing is settled, then why are you worrying about your electric bill? Why are you worried if he's going to save your child? You believe you prayed, he's going to. Why? Why let the lesser be uncertain when the greater is settled? See, if God gave you his best, he's going to give you the rest. All things. Come on, all things. You see, we don't need God to do something new. We believe that we need the church to believe in what God has done in the old from the cross. There is a generation that will rise up in the earth that will believe every promise of the Bible is theirs. They will enter into it by faith and declare victory and live in the promise that God's, come on, someone say amen. That's me, that's us, we're the Joshua generation. All thanks, someone shout all thanks. Okay, God's gonna give us freely all thanks. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God are in Jesus, yes, and in him, amen. So heaven has already said yes. When you give God your yes, you're in agreement with him. Amen. The promise, what? The promise of Scripture. Well, Pastor, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. I know. Let's find it. Let's read his will. By his stripes you're healed. Well, Pastor, it hasn't happened yet. I don't care if you come to this altar 1,000 times. Every time you come, we will lay hands upon you and believe for your healing. Don't ever stop believing for God to do something he's promised to do. Don't change your theology because it hasn't happened yet. Don't make excuses for God. We don't need a substitute God or a substitute theology. We need to believe all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Okay. Verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore, is also risen, who's at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. So my third little point, because you know it's very important. The devil is the father of all lies. Condemnation is always a lie from the enemy. See, he's such a skilled prosecutor. And Dr. McCrae would know this. He's counseled and helped so many thousands of people. Dr. Averna, so many thousands of people. So one of the, maybe the top two or three things that drives people into mental disclarity, even mental disease, we used to call it, you know, nervous breakdowns. But the thing that pushes people over the edge emotionally, mentally, is guilt. And in Christ, your guilt is removed. Who is he that would condemn? When you talk to God about your past, he says, what past? He doesn't just forgive your sins, he forgets your sin. Come on, Paul wrote the Bible and said, I've defrauded no one, I've hurt no one, I've been done. Paul was a mass murderer. Saul of Tarsus, he comes to Christ, converted. He is so redemptively saved, he says, I'm innocent on the inside. It doesn't matter what you've done. Once you come to Christ, repented of your sins, he makes you innocent. Not just not guilty, but he makes you innocent. Oh, Pastor, I've had a problem with morality, and I've been with all these people. I know once God forgives you, he'll restore your innocence. He will. Oh, he's so good. Jesus, thank you. So condemnation is a lie. Now, we come under the power of the liar when we believe his lies. We break free from the power of the liar when we reject his lie. Okay? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now. Everybody shout now. Because of Christ at the cross in our redemption, there is therefore now no condemnation. Okay, it's a guilty verdict. To those that are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, not fleshly minded, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You're free. Come on, you're free. You're free. Come on. You're free. You're forgiven. Micah 7 says, I have buried your sins in the depth of the sea, never to be found again. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, I have separated your sins from you. The north and south touch and pull and change direction and become, if you go north, eventually you'll go south, you'll touch them. But if you go east, you'll never go west. If you go west, you'll never go east. As far, they never touch. They never touch. The devil has no power over you unless you agree with his lies. Every time he brings up your past, rebuke him. Tell him, my past is forgiven. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on now. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. ministering to someone, this ministering to someone brokenhearted because of failure. And when you fail in public, it's all amplified and people get all goofy about it. But I minister to that person the same I would minister to anyone in this church. I said, your story's no different just because you're out there and people, so what? It doesn't matter one hoot what anybody thinks about you but God. Be clean with God. Now, when we sin, the Bible says, if we sin, we have, 1 John, we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous Christ Jesus. And then if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So here's what I tell people. Those that are quick to admit they're wrong are quick to become strong. Now, see, used to be I could go a few days without repenting when I do something wrong, you know. Just, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Now it's about 5 minutes. You with me? Other day, here's what happened the other day. Lord, forgive me for commanding that driver to go to hell. I'm sorry. You saw what they did to me. I know that. I just forgive me for reacting. I didn't mean for you to blow them up. I didn't ask for hailstones from heaven. All those things that I prayed, 5 minutes. You with me? Not 5 days. See, conviction says come back. Condemnation says go away. The devil is trying to push you away from God. The Holy Spirit's trying to bring you back to God. Okay? So that, it gets even better. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Someone say nothing. Okay, everything said is now reaching its climactic moment of truth. Everything, all these paths, you're justified, you're foreknown, you're predestined, you're called, you're blessed. All these paths end up at the same place, the love of God. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Well, tribulation, the Greek word for pressure, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Now, look at me. All of those things, Paul had personally experienced every one of those things. And so, I've been through a couple of really difficult things. There's never a time in your life when you're so low, love can't still reach you. When everyone leaves, he stays. I got 4 kids. I got 5 grandkids. I call them the Fab Five. I'm not rushing my kids, but I'm saying the Fab Five wants to be the Spectacular Six. Let's get busy. Let's go. I don't got forever. Let's go, kids. Sometime the terrific 10, okay? Now, my children have disappointed me, but they've never made me stop loving them. I don't always approve of their behavior, especially when they're little. You burned down what? You did what to who? Holy moly. There's nothing they can do to make me not love them. Come on. Stop thinking you're the first person God got so disgusted with. Oh, forget it. I'm done with you. Remember the prodigal, the father, searching for his son who wasted everything. Never stopped loving him. Okay? Nothing could separate. Now this is rhetorical, verse 37, or verse 36. It is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now look at me. He's saying everybody faces the moment of self-indulgence with self-pity. You with me? Oh, God. Why me? That was my... So I went through some things 20 years ago. My first thought was, I came up with 5 preachers I knew were living in sin. I'm thinking, have you looked around this city? You with me? I love one woman. I've never smoked. It's all self-righteous. I never smoke and ever drink. Why? So I got so self-indulgent, I wrote a country western album. the honest to God truth. It's the truth. I hate to admit it. My favorite song was, "Now that you've used me up, you're ready to throw me away." Yeah, it is true. In the bottom of the valley, the country music is playing. I gotta be careful. Half of my family likes country music. Now, I said this to say this. The longer you indulge self-pity, the longer you delay your restoration. The problem with being a victim is you never get better. You with me? I refuse to be the person with so much anger, unresolved issues. I tell my grandkids, your Pompey's gonna get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter because I'm not gonna let this world spoil me. And whenever you allow a negative emotion to stay past its expiration date, it poisons you. Weeping for the night, join them all. Okay. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now that is one Greek word, hupe, beyond. Okay, hyper for us. Hupe, beyond. Nikeo, which is the word Nike, the tennis shoe. To be victorious. It means super victorious. The other day I ministered in, was in Atlanta. I did like 6 meetings in 2 days. Ministered maybe 10, 11 hours. Incredible. Prophesied personally for hours over almost 500 people. Too much, but God strengthened me. Okay, so the churches gave me a check. I didn't even look at it. I came to Mary and I said, "Here." I worked my guts off, and my wife's job was to look pretty and pray for me and to wake me up for the meeting. And when I gave her the check, she said, "Oh, thank you." She's more than a conqueror because her husband's out there whooping the devil, changing the, and Jesus said, "I got it all covered. I justified you. I predestined you. I called you. I foreknew you. I've glorified you. I've loved you. I've forgiven you. I've healed you. I got you." So I do it all here. Just believe me. You're more than a conqueror because you get everything I earned, I fought for, I obtained by sacrifice. You get it all for nothing. Just faith. Just believe it and it's yours. Now listen to me. God's waiting for a more than conqueror generation to arise. And here's how it happens. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, angels, nor principalities, powers, that would be demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height and depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, please get this. There's a generation, I believe it's you, that's going to be so trusting of God in his goodness, like my precious wife said, so trusting in his love that they're going to believe every promise is theirs, that they're going to excel and they're going to elevate to a place of conquest no generation of believers ever has. Individuals have, but a whole generation. It is a loved generation. It is, now listen to the sentence. It is the revelation of God's love for us that awakens the conqueror in us. There's a champion in you. There's more than a conqueror. There's more than a conqueror inside of you. It's in your DNA. You are made by Christ, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You are made by Christ to live in a realm of super victory. That's your destiny, and how you'll get there is to be so convinced and so assured of God's love for you, nothing can shake you free from it. And the earth will never be the same because a generation that has been so exposed and so receptive to God's love shown to us in redemption and justification and predestination and foreknowledge and calling and glory and glorification, so shown to us that when we approach this world, we are fearless We are lovers of the unlovely. We're forgivers of the hateful. We're believers in the face of doubt and fear and unbelief, because love has created inside of us unshakable confidence that if God be for us, who can be against us? Come on, stand to your feet and give God a shout of praise. Come on. Someone shout, God is for us. Come on, high five three people. Tell them, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, I'm more than a conqueror. Prayer team, please join me down front. Prayer team. Thank you, God. Listen, I'm going to ask anyone this morning. We've been talking about Jesus, his love for us, his finished work, his great gift, his grace, his forgiveness for us. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, today's your day. Today's your day to get the gift Christ died to give you. Today's your day to make things right with heaven. Today's your day to open your heart to pure love. If you've never received Christ, we want to pray for you today. If you've been away from God, this make this your homecoming day. If you need a physical healing, I felt all service long, healing was here, beautifully, dynamically, powerfully. We'd love to pray for physical healing. If you're going through a very difficult season, say, Pastor, I'm going through tough times, can you please pray for me? We'd be honored to pray for you. Anyone wanting prayer, come forward. Pastor BJ has asked me to pray for a couple of his awesome worship friends, Leonard and Tyler. Leonard and Tyler, can I pray for you guys for just a minute? Who come in town to help on Pastor BJ's, the mastering of his CD. Anyone needing prayer, come on down. You make your way forward. Today's your day. Don't miss that on what God has for you. Help me for just a moment. We're going to pray over these guests of... Hi, Tyler? Hey, would you stretch your hands toward Tyler? Lord, we pray for Tyler today. Thank you for your love for him. Thank you for your hand upon his life. Thank you for what you've done. What you're doing, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. The Lord plucked you, Tyler. He plucked you out of darkness. He plucked you out of the grip of the enemy. He plucked you out of the agenda of people. He chose you. You're an anointed vessel, a chosen vessel to God. And God's so happy with what your life has become. He approves of everything you become as a man of God, a man of destiny. And the Lord says, just like the devil wanted to make you an instrument of darkness and releasing dark waves of oppression, God has made you an instrument of light, of heaven, of anointing, of glory. Your hands are miracle hands, and miracle music flows from you. Deliverance flows from you. The deliverance God's given you, he gives others through you. And God says, thank you for letting me make your fingers weapons of war. Thank you for your heart that is pure toward me. Thank you for your commitment to my kingdom. Thank you for your vision to see what I would do in the earth. God says, get ready, get ready, get ready. I saw a moving truck. I see God doing some amazing things for you. It's a promotion season. It's a transaction of blessing, of favor. Favor, favor, favor season. God, thank you that you've got such great things in store for him and his family. I saw a little girl, an angel in your home. I heard the Lord say, a great anointing upon a child. Her voice is going to fill the earth with heaven's sound. God, thank you for what you're doing. Tyler in his life, in Jesus' name. Pray for Leonard. Lord, thank you for Leonard. We bless him today in Jesus' name. God gave you such a sensitive heart. You hear things what others don't hear. You feel things what others don't feel. Since you've been a young child, you sense the moving of the Spirit. You sense things. And God took your nature, which at some times seemed difficult. You felt things so powerful, but God has made you a prophetic oracle. God has made you a prophetic instrument. Thank you, Son, for letting me flow through you. Thank you, Son, for allowing my Spirit to encompass you, to be like a river in your heart and in the heart of others. I'm doing something. I saw the band, I saw the group. God, visit them. I'm visiting you, I'm visiting your home. I'm visiting your home, a group, your church. I'm visiting your family. I'm doing things. This is a fulfillment season. This is a season when the three other siblings, I'm doing miracles in your family. I'm doing miracles in people you've been praying for. I'm doing miracles in family members you've been standing for. I'm honoring the faith of a virtuous person, a godly woman. And God says, I'm giving you the inheritance of your family. A great blessing is about to flow into your life. God, thank you for this man of God. Thank you for your love for him, your grace, your healing, your life, your strength, your blessings in every place, in every way. I command infirmity to leave his family. Right as we stand here, God, you're healing someone there. I loosen the power of God now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You're a miracle God. Makalama, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everybody. Listen, anyone that wants prayer, you keep coming forward. Don't forget tonight, Prophet Bill Hammond. It is going to be incredible, a night of impartation. Mary and I love you, an awesome church. You can stay here.